Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 66 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. And hi, Adam. How are you today?
I am fantastic. And this is a unique show because we have no guest.
is that unique now?
Well, it's back to
listeners,
the old
we're
norm.
Curious. We're curious. Are you a fan of us bringing our friends and getting advice from other people besides us?
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of fun with it, personally.
Me too. We try to have one more guest for this episode, actually, but the timing didn't work out because I was traveling.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. We'll have to bring
learn something new every day.
We'll have to bring that surprise guest back on sometime in the future.
I think listeners of this show will hear from some of our friends again.
Yes.
Those that we had a good time with, and maybe a few others that we appreciate.
Yeah, and a few others
sometimes
we don't.
Sometimes you just got to hear from a few more voices.
I think we should have some people.
Get something else in the mix.
And I think we should have some people we don't appreciate. No, I'm kidding.
Right. What's up with you?
Because of the way that this thing works, the time that this episode comes out is technically in the future from when we're recording it, right?
That's how podcasts work.
They often work that way. Or the past. So anyway, I'm not sure how to word this, but the day after this drops is my anniversary for being married 20 years to my amazing wife, Ellen. So happy anniversary to my wife. And
woohoo, yeah.
And this comes out, and I believe, yeah, the day after this comes out, I'm off to Paris.
Unbelievable, man. Congrats. You're an inspiration.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And then by also the same week, like next week, when this comes out, the kids start school, which will then reduce my grocery bill by 25%, which is fantastic. And I'll be able to stay work from home a little bit more because lately it's been a struggle to, they wake up at noon, which is kind of funny.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I mean, I've already done like 5 hours of work, but I just like, that's kind of when I kind of come into a stride at that point, like 11, whatever it is. They're just around. They want to see what's going on. I'm like, nothing. I'm working. So
I was a teenager, I could sleep in, but till noon?
And that's early, like sometimes, because they stay up really late. I go to bed at 9:30, 10. They stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning because they still have friends on the West Coast, and they're talking to them, and they're playing games online, the boys at least, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So, and also, just as a quick side note, the day of this recording is actually, within 24 hours, 1 year of me moving to North Carolina.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I changed
really special.
I changed,
1 year later.
I changed the Facebook status today. The recording of this episode is 1 year today, so I'm going to actually write an update post for Facebook, like the good, the bad, the ugly, about how it's gone. And it's mostly good. Mostly good. Just, you know, there's honestly no ugly. It's beautiful here. So
it's pretty nice.
Yeah. So you've been here.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Good vibe.
That's right. So that's what's happening to me. What's happening with you?
Well, I was at the lake the other day and had a bit of an injury.
Oh, that's right.
A rib that, I don't know, maybe it's cracked or just bruised
or
whatever.
Based on your definition and based on my experience and being your elder, you have a hairline fracture in your rib plate.
Well, it hurts and it's been pretty sore. But thankfully, I didn't miss any WordCamp speaking engagements because of this.
Oh, that's low blow.
And this past weekend, I went solo.
Oh, that's right.
Just me and the baby for 2 straight days.
Wow. And there she is in the background. She heard her name. She heard the reference. I heard her.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Well, it was fun. Yeah. It was the longest that we've gone without her mother around.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty good time. I think I did okay.
Yeah. She's alive. No bruises. Nothing broken.
Nope. Nothing at all.
Good. And she's not starving hungry. So you did fine. I knew you did.
I think so.
I remember the first time I did that. I'm like, what am I good? I'm like calling my mom. You want to come visit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got by.
Good.
It was fun.
Good. Awesome. Anything else going on? Is that it? Really?
That's it.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next segment, which is, of course,
this is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
No, actually, so this is the news section, and there's one piece of news, but people might have noticed in the last few episodes we didn't do news or changes because there really wasn't a whole lot. Plus, we wanted to have more time for the guest as well. So we just kind of, we didn't force it, right? So
that's totally true.
You want to put this in? You want to mention this since you put it in the show notes?
Yeah, I just saw this last night. cPanel took some funding. They got acquired by Oakley Capital.
Yeah.
So cPanel is apparently still a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. I haven't had to experience a cPanel in years, but I did a lot when I was getting started because every hosting company was just running cPanel and they all looked the same under the hood.
Right.
So we got pretty familiar with that interface. The investment was from a company which also owns Plesk, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, they're really only like these two major players here.
See, I thought actually so at one point, funny. I thought Plesk bought cPanel. I thought they merged at one point. I could have sworn that.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing, but apparently that didn't happen.
Right. it's different. I don't know. Something happened like that. I don't know.
So now they're owned by the same entity. So this, I mean, when there's just two major players and they're one's acquiring the other or they're owned by the same company. I mean, this is like This American Life acquiring Get Options, basically, when there's only two that matter.
Right. That's awesome. You know? So can I tell you, when I first saw this in the show notes, I'm like, why would Oakley invest in cPanel? Like, what would a sunglass company? Seriously, sure. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, and I opened, I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. It's a capital investment company.
Oakley Capital.
Okay. Whew, that was funny. Okay, well, that's it in the news, I think. Yeah. Okay, that's it for the news. All right, so we're going to move on to the next segment, which is, of course, this one. Changes. Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Andrea Rennick has left CopyBlogger to do her quilting full time.
Ain't that funny? Wow.
It's actually, she's a perfect candidate now for my new podcast that's coming out in the very near future. It's called It's Not a Hobby. You can go to itsnotahobby.com, where I want people's stories. So, you know,
yeah,
about transitioning from a hobby to a job. So to a new career, new option, a new, you know, something like that. New passion.
Absolutely. So super happy for Andrea.
Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. So, yeah. Have you seen pictures of, like, she actually has this huge quilting machine? Like, they've invested money. Like, they have a big, I think they have some property up in, they're up in Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, like that's correct.
Toronto, Ottawa? I don't know.
No, maybe more like Nova Scotia.
Okay, but they're up, and they have some land, and they have a nice piece of property, and they have this very wide, it looks like a very wide format printer, but it's for quilting. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Andrew's the reason that I first found out that there is a time zone east of the Eastern time zone.
What?
Yeah, there is.
So what time is it there for her?
She is ahead of us, but she's still on the North American continent.
Like, what? You can't be in.
Yeah.
No,
there's Eastern time zone is not
just one time zone,
like all the way.
Really?
Along the coast, yeah.
I have
just to, further east.
I don't believe. I mean, I know she might be further east, but that's news to me. That's yeah. All. Wow.
Apparently.
And I'm done for the day. I've learned the one thing I need to learn today.
I don't know what the name of the time zone is. Atlantic maybe or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna look that up after we get to when we have a break here in the moment. So, all right,
it's true. Andrea Rennick is a really cool person, though. Everybody in the community knows her. She's been very just like active in the community, supportive of people, a good friend to everyone. When I was first getting started in my business, she was one of the first people in WordPress that I became familiar with because of her work. Her and her husband Ron's work. Around WordPress multi-site.
Oh, that's right.
This was a long time ago, but she wrote like an ebook, and we were doing some multi-site work for ourselves and for some clients, and it was a really big deal. Like through her, I learned a ton of stuff.
So are you going to go back to like multi-site client work?
Not ever, actually. But that was very important at the time. So like she was one of the first like names in WordPress that I knew and recognized and like idolized in a way. And then got to meet her years later and just say, thank you so much for all that you've shared and all the support tickets you answered and the things that you wrote. It was really cool.
Nice. So yeah. If she was still in the WordPress game, we would invite her on the show, but oh well, I'm kidding.
Yeah. She's a hoot.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Moving on. All right. I'm going to start this one off. I am wearing, I'm giving some love to GiveWP. I am drinking coffee, but not just any coffee. It sounds like a commercial. Not just any coffee. This coffee is uniquely special because it really does, doesn't it? Sound like the Truman Show? But this coffee is fantastic, Bob. No, the reason why it's special coffee is because of twofold. One, it is almost college football time again. And I'm drinking coffee out of my San Diego State alumni mug, for one. And I'm using, honestly, I'm using a coaster. This is new for you to see. I'm using a coaster from WP Campus, a little meta. College football, WP Campus.
Oh, all right.
I got that from Rachel Cherry over at WordCamp Asheville last weekend.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And I'm reading, I'm rereading the book, The 12 Week Year. I'm trying to give that a second chance to see if I can help focus down some ideas that I have for the fourth quarter of this year. Mm. And people in my mastermind have recommended it, and they kind of went through it. I just kind of dropped off real quick. I read like the first 2 weeks, so I just didn't put it into place. I'm trying to get. So
anyway, okay. Sounds good.
What do you got going on in the wearing, drinking, reading?
Rocking a Gravity Forms t-shirt.
Nice.
Drinking some Caribou coffee.
Okay.
And I'm actually halfway through Stephen King's The Drawing of the Three.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Hey, question on the Caribou coffee. Do you like, do you ever go there? Like, do you have a location in town?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
I bought it at Walmart.
Oh. All right. Because we have one in town in Cary, and I was just talking to William, who's a core contributor. We may meet there like later this week to kind of co-work for the day, but I'm trying to find a decent coffee shop. As you know, you've been going to your Zito's? No, what's it called?
Vito's.
I've tried a few in my town, and the ones I've tried, either too loud because they brew coffee there, they grind and they roast their own beans, or it's overly priced, expensive coffee that was kind of bitter and acidic, in my opinion. So I'm trying to find another option. So, anyway. Mm, and it was okay. And I know Caribou Coffee is a chain, but I'm curious if it's any good for sitting to work. But I don't know.
Neither do I.
Okay. All right. Why don't you take us into our pay the bills?
Yeah, we've got. Well, I have a story for you.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Sure. Do I need to pay attention?
I've been reading a lot of stories lately to my daughter.
Do I need a blanket? Do I need a blanket?
Yeah, you can have a blanket and, your favorite stuffed animal.
Okay, go.
Once upon a time, in a faraway forest, there were two cottages. In one cottage was Paul Sauerkraut. In the other cottage lived Mary Gumdrop. Both Paul and Mary were freelance web developers who, due to the nature of their profession, were afforded the luxury of working from home, even though their dwellings were undeniably remote. Their lives were very similar. Every day, Paul and Mary both awoke at dawn and walked out their front doors to greet the day. Every morning, they both brewed 14 ounces of freshly ground Ethiopian coffee in their AeroPress. Every morning, they kissed their children goodbye and sent them off to school with their gluten-free lunches. Every day, they voice-activated the lights and coffee mug warmers in their offices and listened to Alexa read the day's headlines. And every day they alternated between sitting and standing at their electronic sit-stand desks. And every day they worked hard while listening to the singing of forest-dwelling sparrows and chickadees making merry outside their windows. One day, two tall and extremely handsome men came to the forest to meet Paul and Mary. First, they went to Paul's cottage and knocked on the door. When Paul answered, the first man, who was equally tall and handsome but much older than the other, said to him, "Kind sir, we have been traveling the land to tell devs like you that danger's at hand. Malware is plaguing the internet sphere. No website is safe, and soon it will be here. You must protect yourself from malicious scripts. But now hear the good news spoken from our lips. We have discovered a solution known as Malcare, which will thwart off attacks both common and rare. For all your security needs, this tool will suffice. We have also negotiated a special price, the value of which I can surely attest. Malcare.com/getoptions is the link which is best. With this, you'll be able to sleep through the nights. Now, will you purchase Malcare and protect your sights?" Paul listened and respectfully to the visitor's urgings. Then he said, "Thank you for this message. However, I must decline. I haven't the budget. My sights will be fine." The two tall and devilishly handsome men bid Paul farewell and proceeded to Mary's cottage. There they knocked on her door, when she answered, recited to her the same warning which Paul had previously received. However, Mary's reply was unlike Paul's. She said, "Fair gentlemen, I thank you. I can see you've traveled far. I can tell by your faces that your intentions are pure and true, and so now I say, for this outstanding feature set, I'm happy to pay." After paying for this steeply discounted Malcare service, Mary went back into her cottage and got back to work. The handsome men left the woods and journeyed off to other far-off lands. Then another day came when a big bad worm came knocking on the login pages for Paul and Mary's websites. The worm huffed and puffed and attempted various cross-site scripting attacks, database injections, and distributed denials of service. Paul's sites were not well protected and were quickly overtaken. Within moments of exploiting the vulnerabilities in Paul's sites, the worm defaced each one with vile and offensive messages as well as advertisements for Canadian pharmaceuticals. When this happened, all of Paul's clients were shocked and horrified. They sent him angry emails and called him. One by one, they canceled their contracts and demanded refunds. Paul was quite distraught. He had no choice but to close his business and declare bankruptcy and short sale his lovely cottage in the woods. The rest of his life was hard and lonely and sad. Mary's sites, however, were protected by Malcare, and not a single one was compromised. The attacks had no impact on her business, and she continued to grow. Very soon, she was so successful that she was able to take three-day weekends all year long and outsource the more onerous tasks within her business. And they all lived happily ever after.
That was amazing.
Well, thank you to Blog Vault for sponsoring this episode. Our friends at Blog Vault, the original and best backup service for WordPress, created a new service called Malcare. It's the real deal. Service makes sense. First of all, it's super sophisticated and rivals any other malware scanning tool in the business. It's easy to use and expensive and can help remove infections for good. If you happen to be one of those smart people managing your backups through Blog Vault, you're in luck because their backups are scanned as well. Both Malcare and Blog Vault are powerful tools used by professionals. If you want to be taken seriously on the web in 2018, use Blog Vault and Malcare. Listeners get 20% off their first year by visiting malcare.com/getoptions or blogvault.net/getoptions.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you again. So before we move on to our next segment, I just wanted to back up for 1 second. You are correct. There is another time zone in North America. I looked it up. Yeah, it's negative. It's -4 GMT.
Okay.
Yeah, so she lives up in Fredericton, NB, Canada.
New Brunswick, Canada.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. So it is an hour later there than it is for us right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird. Never knew.
I had no idea. Yeah, they are -4 GMT. So that's crazy. Okay. Okay. Who knew? Anyway. All right. Yep. Hey, on that note, I have a question for you real quick. Do you know what time it is?
Is it time for me to finish binging the last season of Silicon Valley, which I discovered is out?
No, actually it's not that time. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Options, 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 options. I love doing that. I don't know what it is. I really love this. And it's like I've got the morning voice. Like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pumps me up.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Hit me.
All right. The first question comes to us from Renee Morozowicz. She asks us, I'm not sure if this is a good one, but here's something I have trouble with. Someone emails me asking for a quote. The description of what they need is vague. I email back asking for more info. We go back and forth a few times, maybe schedule a call at some point. I feel like I need all the info to give a good quote. I really want to understand what work there is to be done. It's not always what they say it is. But it can feel like a difficult process or like I'm bothering them. So, how do you get the info you need to give an accurate quote in the easiest way possible for both me and the prospective client?
Okay. So, Renee, fantastic question. Come up across this time and time again. I have three options for them for this answer.
This is a good question.
Yeah. Option one, I'm going to surprise you with my first option.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? It's pretty basic. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 words. get out of the client services business.
Oh,
a la Kyle Maurer.
Yeah, thank you.
Just want to give you props. Okay, that's option one.
I'm Kyle Maurer, and I endorse this message.
That's awesome. Yeah. That might be the funniest thing you've ever said. No, it's not. Yeah. So that's my first option. Do you have an option?
I know that I do love this question and questions like it, but I think that everyone has their own different style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Adam and I want to do a project and need information, we go in and we play good cop, bad cop, right?
Yes, we do.
Right? Wait, how you do it, to get the information you need.
Right. What do you want? How many banner ads do you want? Yeah. How many sliders?
Hey, man. All right. It's okay. I'm on your side. Let's work together on this. He's trying to get you. But anyway, yeah. Good cop, bad cop. You know what that is.
We might have to do a talk about that, like right there. Good cop, bad cop, client communications. That'd be awesome.
I like that.
That's a good battle. That's our next battle.
Or that's a good concept. Something.
Okay, go ahead. Move on. Go, keep going.
Yeah, no, you.
Oh, so another one is, you know, option two for me is you could surprise a client by visiting them at their home during dinner. Force them to answer the onboarding document that's in its entirety that you sent over originally when you started the initial conversation. Ideally, you have this onboarding document already created. Bring it to them, sit down at dinner, interrupt them like a bad, you know, telemarketer.
Right.
Force the issue. Get all the information right then and there through dinner.
Right. Option in that situation two. Where they're incentivized to get this over with as quickly as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
Thank you.
Everybody, like I said, has their different style. Some like to hyperanalyze, like take the Dr. Phil approach, you know, and maybe say, now you don't realize, but all this time, your trusting nature and lack of skepticism has been the root cause of your web security issues.
That is so good. No, that's the funniest thing you've ever said. You just keep raising the bar.
Shucks.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
All right. We've got our own style.
And my third and final one, option-wise, I think it's my final one, is quadruple your prices so you can hire someone else to worry about the onboarding discovery process so that you can go play a game of hopscotch or horse to pass the time with your children, enjoy story time reading with Kyle, but just not have to worry about these low-level mundane tasks working with clients.
I'm behind you.
Yeah.
102%.
Right on. Okay. So, yeah. Obviously, the other only option I really would have is ideally is to have a process in place to where you have an onboarding document. You have the same questions you ask consistently.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, at least for the base information, and then just be open to the questions. And if you need to record the conversations for your own history, not for legal purposes, you know, I'm not an attorney, but you can say, even if you're doing it through a Zoom call, say, I'm going to record this so I can have something to reference back to in case that way I don't want to forget what we talked about. I've done that.
Right. Right. So
anyway.
But, you know, I didn't have anything taken down on that line, but you do make me think of a few things. Like, mm-hmm. I do actually think that it is important to abide by those kinds of, documents and checklists, if you will. There was a Freakonomics episode that was about checklists. I think it was really good. And they talked about some things like, you know, we have this idea that we get maybe better at things with more experience, but there were examples of, I think some of the examples were like airline pilots and doctors, and they were talking about there were actual issues with those who were much more senior compared to those who were new, because those who were new were relying heavily on the documents and checklists that were provided and were like dotting their I's and crossing their T's, whereas those who have been doing the job for a long time were kind of just, you know, falling into their groove and trusting the process a little bit too much at times and failing to like check the minor issues that are never a big deal.
That's been mentioned. It's a book. It's Atul Gawande, I believe. The Checklist Manifesto.
Yes. I think the author of the book was on the show.
Yeah, I've heard him speak. I've read the book a few times. It's fantastic. I've referenced it many times in the other podcasts I've done. It's having the checklists. It's key. I have checklists for when I edit this show, when I create these notes, when we do this.
For sure.
I mean, yeah, it becomes second nature, but for the most part, I do it because I want to have that memory, sense the muscle memory. And also, I want to get to a point where if I need to give this to somebody else to do it, they can.
That's very true. I fell victim to this when I was doing consulting for a long time as well. And like over time, I would get a little overconfident that I'd be able to cover everything. Like I've been there, done this. This is another client meeting. I'm not going to forget stuff, but then I do.
Right.
I mean, and then it feels kind of dumb later when I'm like, oh, shoot, you know what? We never talked about ongoing maintenance or user roles or some integrations that might be relevant. I forgot to ask that stuff. I just went in overconfident because I've been in so many meetings. So I do think your point is well made that these kinds of documents and guides are important, and follow them even as you progress and become more experienced.
Right. Yeah, it's important. Have that document created. And there are plenty of examples out there on the interwebs. You can Google for one. You can modify it, but start with a template. If you actually, Renee, if you need, by all means, when you hear this episode, if you listen to this episode, shoot me an email and I'll share. I think I have one as well. I mean, I have a few variations of it over the time. When I was doing photography, video, web, I've used checklists across the board every time. Onboarding documents, checklists, kind of thing. So
smart.
Yeah.
Another thing, Renee, I think you need to get past this idea that your consulting and scoping time should be done quickly. Get that idea out of your head. Every good consultant I know spends a lot of time on this stage. And during my consulting days, I found myself continuously spending more time upfront working out the details than I used to. Which is, I understand, counterintuitive, because we're used to everything else getting faster over time. You should be getting faster at building websites and mocking up designs and writing copy and migrating data, etc., the more often you do it. But scoping projects actually often is kind of the opposite. You'll find it that more time there is always worthwhile, and you need to set expectations with the clients that it is completely necessary.
Yeah. I mean, to just follow up on that, maybe to wrap this up, I literally have a client right now that we've been talking probably for 3 months off and on, and I've modified a couple of revisions of the contract, of the proposal, and their PM now really has some more questions, like 4 or 5 more questions, and they're good questions. Mm-hmm. And part of me just thought, I got this email last night, and just thought, I thought about this morning after my workout. Part of me doesn't want this job, if you will. It's kind of, yeah. I feel like, are they becoming too much? And I thought, you know what, you're actually right. What you just said resonated, because I'd rather get it clear right now ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Expectations set, the entire project figured out, you know, as far as the mechanics of it up front. Because that way it'll be that much smoother in the build and in the expectations of support and maintenance and everything else that comes after that, right? If it's all in that document, yeah, it does take longer. Then it begs the question, someone asked this at WordCamp Asheville, do we charge for discovery? How does that kind of play into this? Because right now I'm not getting paid a thing. I put in some decent time. Or do you build that into the cost of the build? You know, it's a balance. You either charge up front, here's your document, you move on. You know, I guess if you're doing enough numbers and, you know, you're doing enough proposals, or you just kind of tack that into, it's like when you have closing costs on a house, you know, you may want a little bit more money that way you can use for painting, repairs. You know, when you refinance a house, you pay it, you know what I mean? You pay it off, but you have equity, you know, you take the money extra so you can go pay off the car. That way you don't have an extra bill later, you know. So you gotta figure that out as well. So
it's so important. Have you ever like slept in late and been in such a rush that you just like grabbed clothes and later found yourself like, what am I wearing?
Every day. Like, well, you're talking to the guy who never sleeps in. So
one of those I don't know why it made me think of this sort of dilemma or problem. But like rushing the scoping phase is like just like running into your closet and not even taking the time to turn on the light, just grabbing and running out the door. And the next thing you know, you're like wearing your wife's blouse and your daughter's shoes and no pants. And you're like, what? I guess I should have taken the time to evaluate my day and what apparel was necessary and turn on the closet light and find the appropriate attire and put it on or iron it, you know, first and so on. Should have taken that time so that this day could go smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've done a pretty good job on giving Renee some options.
It does take practice. Remember that, Renee.
Not all the options are good, but I think there's a few in there. There's some nuggets there for you.
There's some nuggets.
All right, next question. I'm going to ask you this one. This was sent in by an Avalon Silver. Sounds vaguely familiar. She says, who has the best daughter? thanks for listening. Avalon, this is our show. No, yeah, she's adorable. So I have an answer. You have an answer? You want to do yours first? Go ahead. You do yours first.
No.
Yeah, come on.
I don't have much to say.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows already.
Yeah. I do control the microphones here, so I could just take you out completely.
I want to know how you handle this question.
My first answer is, my first option, it depends on the day.
Oh.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's, I mean, they're daughters, and they, sometimes I find myself thinking, like, are you the same girl that I had yesterday? Like, where is Abigail from yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll say that a lot more as in the next 12 to 15 years. Trust me.
Okay.
What else you got? Anything else?
I don't know. Oh. I think Abigail is the cutest baby of all time.
Okay.
And she's super smart.
Mm-hmm.
She has so many charming little features.
Okay.
Like that little kind of crooked smile of hers, that scrunchy face grin, and all of her little tricks and talents, like how she claps and how she shakes things. And lately she's been saying, "Dad."
Whoa.
And I don't, it sounds like dad.
It's probably Dud. Hey, Dud.
Yeah, no. Really, she will be sitting in the other room and she will say, Dad. Ah, and yeah. I just come running.
Yeah, and you will literally eventually tune that out. Or Dad, answer it with, "What? Dad, what do you
Dad,
want?
Dad.
So, Dad. So I have another little answer also. So I said to start with, it depends on the day. I'm also going to say the best daughter. Depends on the situation. For example, right now, napping. You may think yours has it down. Mine will out-nap yours any day of the week. Also, okay. Also eating tacos, chips, cereal, veggies, ice cream. She can also out-digest anything your kid can put in her body at the moment.
Wow.
Okay.
I will give you this. Abigail is not picky.
Right.
Either she will eat everything we give her.
Yeah. And I will give you this, though. I will give Abigail the nod towards right now making those cute little noises because she's adorable. For right now, hands down, she has that one. But right now, I'm going to lean towards, you know, mine, who is almost an adult, another month and a half, and I will have an adult living in this house, not paying rent.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up on this question.
Okay.
Avalon is so sweet, though. She's perfectly sweet. She's very witty. Only, I mean, a girl like her writing in a question like this to our show.
Right.
Trying to stir things up.
Yeah, okay.
She's great with her brothers, which I've always loved.
Maybe.
And she's very patient with her parents, too.
Stop.
Okay.
All right, we have a new segment we're going to talk about. We don't have a sound effect for this yet, do we?
No,
we have no
bumper. But I'm excited about this segment. I really am.
I think, and I have an idea for a bumper moving forward, but go ahead. So we'll create that later. But what's the new segment about?
For now, we're going to call this segment Open Source Options. And what we're doing here is we are turning the table and we, Adam and Kyle, are asking a question of you, the listener. What we want is for you to hear these questions that we're asking you and then send us your answers to these questions, and we will either read or play the audio of your questions, I mean, of your answers on a future episode of this show.
Right. So, yeah. So we're reversing, role reversal. Okay. So first question, I'm going to ask this first one.
Okay.
What do you do if you're out there? What do you do with stagnant side projects? You know, in case in point, I just had 3 more domains come up for renewal more than a year. You know, I've started them, I've stopped them, I've started them, I've stopped them. So what do you do when you have a side project that's bearing down on your brain, that takes energy to think about? How long do you keep it around for before you just kill it? Or, yeah, exactly, that's just, what do you do? If you have a stagnant
Sell it.
Move it
or
on.
Or decide to really double down on it and actually do it finally.
Right. What's that impetus to make a decision? There you go. That's the question for you.
Super tough. And you and I both... This comes from both of us.
Yes.
We both feel the same way.
Yeah. So, all right. What's the question you have for our audience?
Not quite as work related, but my wife and I are talking seriously about spending an entire month somewhere else in the world next year.
North Carolina, Cary.
My question to you, listener, is where should we go and why?
Okay. Ooh, good one. That's good.
We want to live there for a month. This is not a vacation. I will be working. We will be taking our almost 2-year-old at the time. It needs to be a safe place. And we want to have fun while we're there, learn a few things, experience maybe a different culture. Basically, any livable place in the world is on the table. So tell me where and why.
Okay, right on. That's your task. That's your homework. Send those questions in. And how would they do that?
Answers. Send the answers.
I mean, answer those questions.
I said the same thing, too.
Yeah. It's
force
weird.
Of habit.
Yeah.
Send us your answers to the question of what to do with our stagnant side projects or where I should go live for 1 month next year. Shoot those our way. We want answers to those. And on a future episode, after we've curated a few, we're going to play your audio. You can go to our website to use the SpeakPipe feature. and record your answer, or email a recording of your answer to questions@getoptionspodcast.com, along with more questions, which are always welcome. We still want to answer more questions from you on future episodes. And like Adam said, maybe we'll have special surprise guests come in and lend their expertise as well. But we definitely want your answers to these fun questions. So help us make the first run of this new segment a success. And that's all I got.
That sounds good. So you want to take us out? I'll take us out. Want me to do what you do? Yeah. I'll be you. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use the SpeakPipe functionality of the website. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, get_options for Twitter. Kyle is over at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. And don't forget, our amazing music is over at SoundCloud, over at get_options. And that is the show. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.